Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hello and welcome back to another entertaining edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Marcus Thompson, you can describe this season many ways, but boring is not one of them. Yes.
That's good, right? Considering.
Well, it's our job. I mean, yeah, last year they played 55 games, and how many do you remember?
No, I mean, we went 9 months without
also
games.
True.
I'll just have to remember.
But, I mean, even the 65 games last season, I remember like 7 of them had memorable moments. This, it seems like every night. We're currently talking about one of the lowest moments of the season. They just lost the second straight double-digit fourth-quarter lead. They blew a 13-point lead in Orlando in 8 minutes, 20 seconds, because like Michael Carter-Williams and Chume Okeke hit a few threes, and that was kind of a weird loss. And then this one backed up like times 10 of a loss, because first of all, you have the Steph Curry disappearing 10 seconds before the game because he's not feeling well, but it's not COVID-related. And then they play one of their most inspired games of the season, I thought. I mean, I think they only scored 15 first quarter points, went down big, but to climb all the way back, to have a 10-point fourth quarter lead, this was setting up to probably be their, like I said, maybe their best win of the season, or one of them. And then they melt down late, and Draymond Green gets the double technical we can talk about. Where do you even want to start on this night?
Yeah, I think that's a good place. Like, this was... the fact that they were in position to win this game, for me, is probably enough of an encouragement to, like, it's the spoonful of sugar, right, to make the medicine go down. You could look at this as emblematic of a bad team that isn't going anywhere, or you could look at it as a team that doesn't know how to win games yet and can learn how to do it. But I did, once Steph was out, I was like, yeah, they're done. I thought Draymond was like, yeah,
at halftime. Which, by the way, we didn't even get to talk to Draymond post game, which, what was it? Like, that was odd that he just didn't come out for 3 minutes.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe he had, get taped or something. You know, maybe he had to do a number two. Who knows? But, he came back. I just felt like this was one of them gutsy, kind of grinded out physical games that they want to be defined by, right? This is what Steve Kerr has been saying from the beginning. He wants this gritty, defensive, top 10 defensive team that can, make shots when they need to, but mostly they want to win with defense. And they kind of did it for most of the game, and then for somehow they couldn't contain Terry Rozier. And then obviously the meltdown at the end. But that, to me, I mean, just if you're looking at it from the perspective of a team kind of building, kind of growing together, first off, these losses are crucial in the West, right? These wins that they're letting get away will come back to haunt them, right? But, I mean, I guess if there is a benefit, it's your three-time champion who lost composure. And you figure at some point, you know, he'll be smarter in the end. Steph will be smarter in the end.
Let's have that discussion now, because honestly, them losing the lead late was mostly just Terry Rozier got absurdly hot. He had a great game. Terry Rozier was the best player on the floor. He had a fadeaway corner three. He hit one falling from the wing. Like, he dragged Charlotte back in. I didn't think it was bad defense. But the Warriors still have a chance late. Brad Wanamaker gets a big offensive rebound. Brad Wanamaker had his best game as a Warrior. He gets a big offensive rebound with 13 seconds left or so. And the Warriors are up two. And he kind of dribbles it out. And he could dribble out the clock. He's assuming a foul is coming. And a foul doesn't come. Steve Kerr says...
They need to stop that. Fouls.
Yeah. By the way, Steve Kerr says he was calling timeout. The referees did not reward him a timeout. Lonzo Ball ties up Wanamaker. By the way, the referees.
There's a video out where you could see why the ref might not have rewarded him. I don't know. He could have been shouting it, but it didn't look like he signaled for a timeout. But he was also behind the ref, so you kind of got to run in front of the. You know, you see refs run on the court like timeout, timeout, like. That's probably what they need.
Then the referees take about 3 minutes deciding if it's PJ Washington or LaMelo Ball to do the jump ball against Wanamaker. Eventually decide it's Ball. Then you get a jump ball tip scramble that Gordon Hayward has early somewhat control over, but they're all falling to the ground. It's just a tumbling of bodies. Warriors are up two at this point. Draymond Green dives in, ties it up to the point that I don't know if you saw the slow-mo. Him and Gordon Hayward are smiling at each other great tussle, veteran. And they both clearly think it's a jump ball that they're about to, go at it together. But the referee points at Charlotte and goes, that's timeout, Charlotte. Draymond Green slams the ball on the ground. I believe that's where he got the first technical. And then he gets up. I don't even know if at this point he knows he has the first technical, and he starts yelling at the referees, and then they quick ding him for a second technical, which not only ejects him, if there was even overtime, but also gives Charlotte two just back-breaking free throws. Terry Rozier steps up, hits both, hits the game winner in the corner. And all eyes are on Draymond Green. Like you said, they're emotional leader. They're veteran. One of the highest IQ players in the league. Now, you obviously pinpoint this loss, this late game meltdown on him. He had the situation in San Antonio where he had the heave when he thought he was getting fouled. And then also, remember he got ejected in a Knicks game earlier this season. That was a referee mistake too, because he was yelling at James Wiseman when he already had a technical. But... that probably lost them that Knicks game.
That cost them. That was big.
So, I don't know. Take it wherever you want, but it's not a great look for Draymond.
First, looking at this video, it looks like PJ Washington actually got the timeout, because referee Mark Davis.
Do you think Gordon Hayward has like the ball enough to even rule? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think that's the thing. The ball can be in a scramble, and I can look at the ref and go timeout. But if my team doesn't have it, you can't award that timeout.
But there was a period where Hayward has the ball, and Draymond dives to tie him up. And if you're just calling timeout, like PJ Washington was, he was just calling timeout. And then Charlotte coach, I never know how to pronounce his name, but
Borrego, James Borrego.
I always want to call him Noriega, okay. But I know, right? But if you just keep calling timeout, at some point during the interval where your guy has the ball, you actually call the timeout, right? PJ Washington was calling a timeout before anybody had possession. He was just calling it. And it looked like Borrego called it when he saw Hayward hit the ground. I don't think that was enough time. That's a ref thing, right?
It's judgment.
Especially if Steve was trying to call the timeout. Yes, it's a judgment call. But even still, they're up two with 9.3 seconds left. So you need a stop. I mean, that's it. You're one stop from winning the game. You don't like the call.
Even if Rozier hits that shot that he ended up hitting, that sends you to overtime.
Overtime. Sends you to overtime. Yeah. So Draymond, and even still, even after Draymond gets ejected, you're one stop from going to overtime. Right, like, I mean, that's they just didn't have the ability to reset and refocus.
Well, Rozier hit it. Right? That's such a tough shot he hit to win it.
I mean, that dude, he was making every single thing. You just can't let that dude beat you. Like, you just can't. If you look on, first off, he got away with a carrying violation, right? Like, he was about to pull up. It was a really bad hezzy. And he literally pauses for a second with the ball in his left hand. But then they switched, and Toscano Anderson ended up on him. And it's like, that switch was the half a step he needed. It's like, hey, you kind of just got to stay with him and let him kick that out, just because he was literally making everything he threw up. And that's what I think Steve is talking about, where they've got to get better execution. They've got to learn how to win games. This stuff is not rote, right? It's not formulaic. You just kind of got to know what you need to do in a situation. That's what winning players do. Like Brad Wanamaker, you just can't dribble to an open space and expect a timeout and get tied up. You just can't get tied up right there, period. You know, Steve probably has to know that, hey, if we get a rebound, kind of get it organized, and we need to call a timeout, right? Like, it's just those type of things. They just all have to lock in and execute. And they just aren't there yet, man. They're just not there. Maybe they get there. Maybe they need to go through this to get there, but they're not there. And the last thing you expect is to do with three championships to be the one costing them games. Remember, they don't have the 35-year-old at the end of the bench, right? They don't have two OGs. They got three roster spots in the G League right now. The OGs on the team is Steph and Draymond.
That is, you know, we've called him their assistant coach this season. That's an assistant coach, essentially, getting two technicals.
Yep.
I mean, for what he means to the team.
Absolutely. He clearly told them, you know, that it was his fault for doing that, and he apologized. But, like, he's just got to be the one. Of all the people, he's got to be the one saying, yo, it's all good. We just need to get a stop, and we're going to talk crazy after we win this. Because they could use him on defense, like, in that situation. So it was just a really bad ending on top of the Orlando game, in a situation where they actually played incredibly well, considering. Like, Oubre hit the game, what was supposed to be the game-winning shot. I mean, think about what that would have meant to what they're building and what they're doing. And instead, like, they hard-headed. They got to learn the hard way, right? Like my daughter. They need the tough lessons later. They can't learn from just the lessons, right? They got to go through the suffering. So hopefully this is it for them. If you Steve
Kerr. But Pin, you know, let's focus on Draymond for a second, because he doesn't need to learn a lesson. Like, he's the veteran. He can't do that, right?
Do think he needs to learn the lesson as the old dude on the team. Like, I do. I mean, I know Draymond is the smart one. I know he's the guy who's been through it, but he's never been in this situation before, right? So I mean, he needs to learn that, yo, in this moment, it doesn't matter what happens. You have to be the adult in the room. You don't have Iguodala anymore, right? You don't have these other dudes where you could kind of fly off. You see, Marquese Chris could barely even contain him, like. He doesn't have that. So, like, yeah, I mean, I understand, but he's got to learn this too. Like, he is the OG on the team. He's the grizzled veteran who's supposed to be showing them exactly what they should be doing. And in the past, he's had the luxury of not having to do that, right, or not being that guy. I feel it's the same way with Steph. He doesn't have the luxury to not talk and to just kind of lead by example. He got to speak. He got to say something, right? He's got to, and you could see him kind of doing that, being more vocal. So I do think there is a sense of Draymond has to, he's got to learn, like, yo, I can't afford to do this. Not anymore, right? That's not who we are.
So let me ask you, you know him very well. I know him pretty well. Do you think, because he typically, in controversial situations in his career, we've been around him through many. He typically takes, I don't want to say like the victim card, but it's typically the ref you know, I'm mad at the ref about this. He, you know, even the Knicks one earlier this season, like that was kind of a ridiculous refereeing decision to eject him while he was yelling at Wiseman. And that was kind of the story coming out of that. Do you think, how much of him do you think tonight, and I don't know because we didn't talk to him, he did not talk to the media tonight, that needs to be noted, really, like, they're saying he was in the locker room blaming himself for, because those are, that's to get two T's in that situation. I mean, to call two T's from the official side was very surprising, but to get two T's, like, he, this is a large chunk of blame that I would think he probably needed to tell his young teammates in the locker room, I cannot do that. Do you think he took that tack, or do you think he was like, man, can't believe the referees did that?
Nah, it sounds like, judging by what they said, that he took the former, right, of I can't do that. It, like, I can't let the refs be the excuse on this one. That's what I would guess. And as a star, as a champion, he's got to look at them dudes in the locker room after a loss like that, and it can't be about the refs. Like, he can't. On the last one, he probably had a good gripe, but in the end, they still had plenty of time to win the game, right? He's got to be able to look at them. Who is it? Damian Lee said, that's my vet. Yeah. You know, like, Damian Lee's been in this league a couple years, and he's like, yo, Draymond's my vet, and they need a vet. This team does not know how to win games, and they need a vet. So it don't matter what the ref did. I imagine Draymond, by what he told them, is thinking the exact same thing. Like, this team needs somebody to lead, right? They need somebody to teach them how to win. And tonight he showed them a lesson of what not to do, without question. It would have been, I would have felt more convinced that that's what he was thinking if he would have took the podium. But
yeah, so I was about to get there, and maybe that is the reason. But what matters most is what he said in the locker room. And, you know, even Wanamaker, Lee, Pascal, you could tell conversations were had because their answers were all like, we're going to keep that in the locker room.
So, it was very clear something happened in the locker room, right? They were like, yeah, we're going to
But they just weren't going to tell us. And, you know, like you said, from their messaging, it did seem like he came with an apologetic tone, you know, to the team, even if he still, you know, has his gripes with the refereeing late, and there were some questionable decisions, including, like, I cannot believe they double teed him. But
the first,
regardless,
seemed,
he put himself
the
in.
First team seemed incredibly foul. Like, he even looked surprised, like, you calling a T on me? The second one, I can imagine he earned because he wasn't even near the refs.
Because of the first team,
probably shouted something like, you know.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
What he said in the locker room matters a lot more than to, like, what he would say to us. But we know he is a guy who loves to use us as a platform, right? I mean, he wanted to say something on the Drummond thing the other night, and he clearly had, like, chatted it up with Drummond during the game, and he purposely decided, I'm going to go to the podium. I am going to say, you know, we didn't even ask him about the Drummond situation. It was like something about his assist total. And then he's like, I got something I want to say. Like, yeah, and he went right to the Drummond thing, 3 minutes. And then later that night, he's on Instagram posting his video, reposting, you know, here's me at the podium. You know, I mean, he knows how to use the machine, and we're part of that machine. I was sitting there waiting for him post game. I was like, I don't think he's going to come. He skipped out on losses this season, a few. Some he talked yesterday after the bad one in Orlando, but I was like, because of the way they're talking, I thought there was a chance he was going to come to the podium, and whatever message he delivered to the team, I thought he was going to deliver publicly, right? You know, and within that, he can criticize the referees but still take some sort of blame. You know, I was just surprised he didn't even show. Now, again, the locker room may not care. What matters is what he said in there, but I just thought he was going to use the podium to, you know, absorb the mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he ever talks after that situation. I could imagine the Warriors are like, yeah, never mind. Like, they don't want him to go up there and say something. So that could be the case. If he would have got to the podium, Draymond can definitely self-reflect, and he doesn't duck. He doesn't hide. Like, when he's wrong, he says it. You know, it's one of the admirable qualities about him. Like, he doesn't, you know, he will own his stuff. So we would have known far more about where he is mentally if he would have taken a podium. Either way, right? Whether he was blaming the refs or whether he was owning it.
You know what else? Yeah. If this was just a normal time, he wouldn't have even needed to talk. We would have got a five by just going in the locker room. And if he's, you know, wants nothing to do with us, if he's in the corner, if he's jetting out with a smoothie, doesn't want to talk to anyone, like, that's color too. We don't know, because we're sitting there waiting, looking at it, staring at a Zoom call. We don't even know where he is in the building, you know. Anyway, sorry, that's a little mini rant on the fact that we're covering stuff from our, you know, living rooms at
this point.
Nobody
cares about our struggles. Nobody cares about our plight.
They probably would have got a little bit better reporting tonight.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Would rather the info.
If I was in Charlotte tonight, I might have been, been able to put out a little bit better reporting. But, look, again.
For someone who's not scoring either, like, he kind of needs to be the leader, right? He can't be a detriment on offense and a detriment in leadership. So, like, this is another way, like, if it's okay in many ways that Draymond isn't giving you 15 points a game because he's giving you all this other stuff. All the other stuff is leadership. So this is his role on the team, right? And if I know Draymond, he understands that, and he probably wishes he had that back.
Yeah. So let's get past the Draymond situation. Mistake. Bad loss. They're 16-15 when they should be 18-13. But they played a good game. I thought Wanamaker defended LaMelo Ball really well. LaMelo Ball did not have a good game. I thought Oubre's just been a really good NBA player in February. Again tonight, you mentioned, and he almost had the game winner. Draymond hit a big three down the stretch. I think they turned Charlotte over maybe 24 times, 25 times, like right around an NBA season high. All nine of Charlotte's players who were on the court tonight had multiple turnovers. They were just powerful and in passing lanes, tipping balls. Wanamaker picked LaMelo's cookies and took it coast to coast at one point. Like, this, for a team that has not been good without Steph Curry on the court lately, for him to leave 5 seconds before the game started and then for them to basically win the game, should have won the game, like, there was good that came of this besides the fact that they got the loss.
No question, right? Like, that's the part where it's like, even though it's tough to swallow, even though 16-15 compared to 18-14 feels like 2 miles away in this season, right? It feels like a huge difference, even though it's only two games. Was it 18-13?
It would be 18-13. Yeah, 18-13. I actually tweeted it wrong. It would have been 18-13.
Like, man, that's a big difference. That's huge in this Western.
That could be two seeds by the end of the season.
Yes.
You know, that could be the difference between fifth seed and seventh, sixth seed and ninth. Like, that's right, just the West.
That feels like 2 miles apart. But, I mean, if you're Steve Kerr, you got to be thinking, if we just figure this part out, we're going to be pretty dangerous. Like, if we can defend like that, if we got this kind of grit and grind, and we got Steph, and we got, like, Oubre, like, playing, and Wiggins, like, contributing, like, consistently on offense, like, you got to be feeling like this team is dangerous, right? Maybe, obviously, they're not going to win a championship, but you got to be feeling that way. This is actually a pretty good sign, all things considered. Teams just got to learn how to win. It doesn't come naturally. It's not easy. You just have to learn how to win in the NBA, like, period, bottom line. And, you know, as you can see, Charlotte needs to learn too, right? They did some things tonight where it's like, they don't want to win this game either. So if you are weighing the two, you could say, yeah, the Warriors are better than Charlotte. I mean, that's not saying that much, but those type of things matter. I do think I do think Steve Kerr and his big picture approach to things feels good about this game. They just have to learn what to do in the final minutes of a game, right? Period. Like Brad Wanamaker missing a free throw, right? It's like, bruh, you're a 90% shooter. You just got to make both, like, period. That's the way it goes. That, you know, you start to see some things come together, but it's just the clutchness. It's just it's the execution down the stretch. Can they fix it in time to really be a force? You know, I guess that's what we'll find out, but it's definitely pretty good, considering all things.
Official pool report just came out. His first technical foul was assessed when he directed profanity at his opponent. He was assessed his first technical foul for verbally taunting an opponent. He then proceeded to direct screaming profanity at a game official and received his technical foul and was ejected as per rule. And then the referees backed up both of their the jump ball decision on the original tie-up. It says was prior to Kerr requesting the timeout. And the second one, it says P.J. Washington requested timeout and Gordon Hayward had clear and sole possession of the ball.
Yeah, see, P.J. Washington just kept calling timeout. It was like the ball was tipped and it went towards the Charlotte player and it was a scrum. And the whole time, he was just calling timeout. So, like, in that second, in that little second between where that Gordon Hayward had the ball, he just kept calling timeout. So he ended up getting it. I wonder why they said, did they recognize? Did they say Kerr came too late or they didn't see it? Where is this?
They said prior, it's just was tweeted out by the NBA's official account.
I was checking my email.
Prior to Kerr requesting the timeout.
Ah, yeah. Well, you knew they had to explain it, right? They definitely had to say something because it was a pretty sketchy ending. Did they adjust the carrying on?
No.
That'll be on a 2 minute report.
At this point, moving past Saturday, somewhat. I'm curious about this Curry situation. I mean, what was your read on that? He's in Charlotte. He clearly wants to push to play in this game. Right when I saw it, I was thinking like celebrating taking him off because of health and safety protocols. It felt a little Durant like a couple weeks ago. But I was immediately told no, it's not health and safety protocols. It just doesn't feel good. They think he can maybe play Tuesday. They'll see how he feels in the next couple of days. What was your read?
I thought it was something serious, like Steph not playing in Charlotte. That's a pretty big deal, right? Yeah, I just really thought that, like, this can't be good because he loves playing in Charlotte. You know, he loves playing in front of his dad. Is his dad there, though? Are they?
Yeah. I talked to his dad the other day. Actually, have a Q&A up on the site. They do home and road.
Oh, wow.
I was really surprised about it. I thought he just did home. He's like, no, they've been going. I think they're going to be he'll be in San Francisco on Friday because there's a rematch, which should be fun because Steph presumably should play. LaMelo and Wiseman should be back. So
I thought it was a pretty big deal that Steph didn't play in Charlotte in front of his dad. But I don't know. I kind of was disalarmed by, like, you know, asking questions from people, just like reaching out, like, nobody seemed alarmed by it.
You know. Kerr wasn't post-game. Yeah. I mean, they're already saying that if he feels okay, he'll play Tuesday. And sounds like Wiseman and Looney are probably going to play Tuesday against the Knicks and the Pacers Wednesday. They've kind of figured a lot of stuff out with all this small stuff. And now, I mean, you're going to inject two centers back into this mix. I think we're going to have a probably deeper talk about all this on the Warriors Plus Minus that we'll do earlier this week, probably Monday.
We got a lot to discuss.
We do. So let's not get too much into that. Anything else from this night? Eric Paschal just going at P.J. Washington. I mean, that funny thing is, like, we would have built this as, like, number two against number three. Well, that didn't play out. But this Eric Paschal, like, lifelong draft disc that P.J. Washington went over him.
Yeah. P.J. Washington is just going to be a bullseye. Have a bullseye on him every time he plays.
That's the best Paschal's looked in weeks. They need P.J. Washington in the building every night.
That's what they need to figure out, huh? Just put P.J. Washington jersey on people. He just clearly has a thing for playing this dude. And it works, too. Like, it's not like he's forcing anything that's not working. It's a matchup that he clearly wins. So it's very interesting to watch. I also think, man, I don't think this night could pass without a hat tip to Kelly Oubre, because we talk about no Steph. He was really good. He was really good, and he's been pretty good lately. So, but the shot he hit at the end, which was the presumed game winner, some of the buckets he came up with were huge. Like, it was a good night for Oubre. I don't even know what he finished with, but just watching the game, it was like, wow, they got good Oubre at a time they really needed it, and I don't think that's not nothing. I think that's actually pretty good.
I agree. You got any LaMelo Ball thoughts? I mean, this might have been LaMelo's worst game of the season, because I've watched a good amount of Hornets.
Yeah,
he's been pretty steadily like good to average. And then tonight, I mean, he had a couple nice like late third quarter moments, but overall, I mean, it's a bad night for him.
Yeah, he looked like he lost his aggression a little bit. I thought the ball was out of his hands quite a bit more than normal, it felt like. Maybe that was it. But, I mean, Terry was going, though, man. He was going. Terry Rozier was 8 of 11 for 3. So there was a moment there where it felt like LaMelo was just going to, like, take control of the game, like, just start making plays, and then, you know, Charlotte did the Charlotte thing. But, yeah, he didn't feel like he was in a good rhythm. Warriors played good defense on him. The Warriors are actually good on defense, and you have to be good on offense to beat them. Now, you could cook them, right? Like, they do some regular stuff that burns them. Like, they always leave the corner guy open. And if you got a mid-range, you can kind of take advantage of them in that way, because they're good protecting, collapsing on the basket, and they're pretty good covering the three most times. But mid-range is wide open. But if you can't, if you're like a whatever player, kind of average, and you can only do what you can do, and you got to do a counter or you got to do something else, the Warriors will prey on you. So I do feel like a lot of his struggles was because the Warriors had a pretty good game plan for him. And Terry Rozier was rolling. Like, that dude was just, yo, he was nuts. 20 in the fourth? That's the second time this year.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, hey, tip your hat to Terry Rozier. Scary Terry,
buddy. Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, besides the controversial last 10 seconds and how that meltdown played out, like, Charlotte just kind of, well, not even Charlotte, Rozier just came and stole the game. Like, yeah, it was really difficult.
He could have got 4-point plays on two of those threes. Like,
yeah. Oubre crashed into him twice.
Yeah, he definitely could have got. He could have got 4-point plays on two of those.
All right, cool. Appreciate you coming on. Two off days for the Warriors. We will have a Warriors plus minus podcast, I believe, before Tuesday's game against the Knicks. So,
make sure, right, man, be safe out there. Go to, you know, don't stay out too late. You know, you still got to fly to New York. Oh, that's right. You ain't traveling. Oh, my fault. I was going to tell you to be careful
Zoom.
Out there in the Charlotte streets.
Zoom life. I mean, Curry got sick somehow.
Curry was playing. All right. That's what he was doing.
Hometown.
Hometown, all right, baby.
We will talk early next week.